Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, with God's help, I want to maybe give us just a little bit of understanding to the foundation of where some of the current events are happening in the Middle East, specifically concerning Israel and Palestine. But it's more than understanding just a perspective on current events. At the close of this, we'll see how those very things are to be at work in our own life. And so we want to make this personal. We don't want to make this a current events, speech. We want this to be, what is the Lord saying to us? What has He said? What do we witness and see that's unfolding? And what does it mean for me personally to bring a greater faith, a greater hope, greater understanding in our daily walk with Him and how we live our lives? And so I want to look at a handful of scriptures. A couple of them, I'm going to read about 10 verses or so on a couple of these. So just hang with me and just kind of listen to what God's Word is saying to us. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 21, and if you don't follow along, it's okay. You can pick this up when they put it back on our website, and you can listen to the messages, or if you want to jot notes, I want to encourage you to be a note taker in your personal reading, however that works for you. And also when you listen to somebody share something from the scripture or sermon, it doesn't matter if it's where it comes from. So I want to encourage you to be a note taker, write some things down. So in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, why don't you listen to what Paul writes. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. It's very important. One by a slave woman. You remember her name? Hagar. Okay, a few of you whispered it just in case you were wrong, right? I didn't hear you. Yeah, Hagar. One by a slave woman, and the other by a free woman, which was his wife. Her name? Sarah. Oh, a little bolder there. You knew that one, huh? Sarah! Yeah, I got that right. You are ready for, Bible quiz, right? Basics, right? Isn't that what they call it now? Not peewee, they call it basics. See, I'm just... Memory's really working. Okay. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. Now remember Abraham and Sarah, promise, God's promise, right, would give them a son in old age. They started to doubt. They agreed that he would go in with her maidservant, Hagar, and that's maybe how God wanted them to have a son. That was not how God wanted them to have a son. And the maidservant gives birth. And his name was? Ishmael. You guys are getting louder as the time goes on, right? So now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth, cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of who has than those who have had who has a husband. Now, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. Those by faith in Christ you've been adopted, not Jewish, come to faith. You are children of promise. Turn to a person next to you and say, he has made me a child of promise. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise, but just as at the time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. So watch this. So the child of promise, Isaac, was persecuted, right, by Ishmael. And it says that's the way it still is when he writes this. This is generations later. I want you to know it hasn't changed. This is some of the backdrop of what we see in the Middle East and where some of this comes from. Don't tell me that God's word is not true. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. You have been adopted through Christ by your faith in him, right? Salvation through faith in Christ, right? First to the Jew, second to the Gentile. But the Lord, he's so gracious, he has the spirit of adoption. You and I have been adopted, and we are treated like a biological son, because when the scripture talks about being born again, we are born again of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. We have been adopted, but you are, through the Spirit, a biological son and daughter through faith in Christ. He has made it so. In the courts of God, okay, that is how it is, period. And we look at this history and we look at what's going on between Isaac and Ishmael still through their lineage, right? I want you to grasp something of the patriarch of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, right? That's the patriarch. Sometimes they leave Joseph out. They just mention Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the scripture. But understand, listen, this is not new, and this is the battle we still fight on a spiritual level, that Christ has settled, okay? But we live out this faith in this battle. Abraham, okay? The enemy came to destroy him in God's plan, right? The promise. He came to destroy the promise that God made of Abraham, that his seed, right, shall be like the stars, the sands of the sea. God chose Abraham. And the enemy tried to rob that promise, right? Pay attention to this. Abraham's faith was tested. And he failed. You ever fail? Okay, there's three of us in the room. Okay. The rest of us, you know, tolerate us, all you holy righteous. Okay, so listen, you ever fail? But God loved Abraham. Even though Abraham was flawed and he failed, God still honors his promise. Where did Abraham fail? Well, in different places, but when we're talking about in this context, is he had a child with Sarah's maidservant, Ishmael. And the enemy comes to take away and hinder God's promise to Abraham and still to you and I. Well, Isaac and Ishmael. So now the promise goes to the promised son. It goes to Isaac, right? He's the son of promise. And now Ishmael, he does not get the blessing and the favor of God. It goes to Isaac. So now the enemy, of course, tries to ruin Isaac's promise through Ishmael. Well, Isaac now has two sons. You know their names? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and who? Esau. Oh, another sibling battle. Only these were twins. Esau comes out first. Guess who's hanging on to his heel? Jacob. Right? Who's the birthright go to? The firstborn son. Right? Goes to Esau. Well, Jacob wasn't without flaw, and he with some coaching from his mother, takes away the birthright and the blessing, okay, from Esau. And it's interesting because the scripture talks about, and you can read about it in Genesis 27, 40. I should probably read it. I'll read this verse, 27, 41. Listen to this. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning of my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." There is enmity. You can read on and find out what happened, but there is enmity. So this Ishmael and Isaac thing continues. It continues through Jacob and Esau. And it continues to flow down through the generations. It's part of the problem of what we see in the Middle East. This lineage, this segregation, this enmity, this animosity, the aggression, all to take the promise and ruin the promise and make it ours of that which we cannot have. Why do you think the enemy of our soul, why do you think he tries to wreck the promise and take it from you? Because he can never have it. He is not redeemable. The promise of salvation does not extend to him. God has made a promise that those who, through Jesus Christ, put faith in him, they are the children of promise. The children of blessing, the children of this inheritance of salvation. We see it played out in some of the things that happen and promises that were made. God promising to Abraham, God promising to Isaac, the blessing now, the promise goes to Jacob. You look at Jacob's son, now the enemy's still at work to try to ruin Jacob's life and take the promise from him. And now we see the promise, it goes to Joseph. You watch this lineage and all the way down through to Jesus. The promised one, the Savior. You look at from the time of Moses in the promised land of Canaan, and it goes through different names. Canaan and the regions, and we know through time thing has changed. We know significant dates. I mean, the map does not look the same over there as it did 100 years ago. In light of time, that's not very long. That wasn't that long ago. And things change. And it's about God's promise and a promised land to his people. And it's been battled over from the lineage of Ishmael and Esau. And we know the scripture. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, you can find it in Romans chapter 9. Listen to this. Now, this is very important. We're going somewhere with this. It's going to affect our life, our outlook, our faith today. Romans chapter 9. Let me start to read from verse 6. "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. You who have faith in Christ, you are considered the children of promise and the offspring of Abraham, the offspring of God's promise. This is who you are. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, had done nothing good or bad in order that God's purpose of election might continue. Understand this. There's twins in her womb. They haven't committed sin yet. They haven't made any choices yet. And yet God looks upon the woman, not because of works, but because of who he calls. She was told the older will serve the younger. Esau will serve who? Jacob. I just want to make sure you're watching and paying attention. I don't want to lose you in all of the reading. The older will serve the younger. And it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. God says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Now, I want you to know in the literal translation of that, it is a little bit more like, it is Jacob I loved and Esau I loved less. But, so you don't question the character of God on this, okay? I want you to understand that I'm going to talk to you about, there's three powerful things that God is. One, he is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Okay. The other is he's omnipotent. He is all powerful. There's nothing more powerful than him. And thirdly, he is omniscient. He is all knowing. He knows everything. Now, here's the deal. This statement where he says, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated, is more out of an omniscience quality of God that he was able to see foreknowledge into the future what was going to unfold, the choices that were going to be made, and the ramifications of those things. This is more where the statement is coming from. God already knew because of the choices that were made and what was going on, he saw the outcome. So that he could say, the blessing, the child of promise, is going to be Jacob. It's not going to be Esau. And Esau is going to have enmity towards Jacob. And this is what's going on still in our world. And we can say it's about land because that's true. And it's also about the promise of God to his people. And it's about those who don't get the promise, want the promise. And if God's not going to give it to me, I'm going to take it myself. And so in doing so, when you and I do that, people do that, we go against the will of God and we try to put our own hand in action and make it now look like we got the blessing. Do you really think that you are going to steal from God's promise from somebody else to make it your own? You ever been jealous? How'd that work out for you? Have you ever really wanted something that somebody else had? I don't mean, oh, that'd be nice. I mean, you wanted it. Have you ever stole something? And maybe you didn't physically steal it, but in here, you were wanting to steal it. And the thing is, you hated the person. You didn't like the person who got the promise because of envy, jealousy, pride, right? You go back to Cain and Abel, right? If Cain would have just observed and honored the command and the will of God, like Abel did, but he didn't. And so he saw God's rest, or favor rest on Abel when it could have rested on Cain also. But Cain didn't honor God. And so what did he do? He killed Abel, thinking that was going to solve it. See, he had the spiritual problem, he had a character problem, he had an inner attitude problem. He didn't deal with things right. He didn't honor God. He imposed his own will and scheme to get that which he could have had, but now didn't belong to him, and it rested on somebody else. This is what's going on in the Middle East. And here's the foundation and some of the history from it. God, because he is all-knowing, okay, he knows, you listen to this, he knows how to deal with everything that unfolds in perfect wisdom because he already has seen it. Have you ever looked back and gone, if I knew now what I knew, what should have known then, right? If I knew then what I know now, I said it kind of backwards there. If I knew then what I know now, I would have made a different choice. I feel like I have better vision. We call it 20/20, and even still, we don't always see totally clear, but we can see, if I would have known, I would have said that different. I would have done that different. I would have made a different choice. Different. See, we get like not perfect knowledge, but we get more knowledge. We get more wisdom from it. Well, God has this marvelous ability in who he is to be able to see into the future, all right? Now, imagine this ability. The ability to create. Hi, Rock. Feeling okay? All right. Got a report on you. Just checking on you. Not that you want to confess all of that here in front of everyone, but anyhow, I'm just thinking about you. So thanks for interrupting the sermon. All right, so it's your fault, not mine. So the ability to create and then see what was going to happen with what you have created, okay? You and I, we don't really create, but we kind of recreate and use things that God gives us to what we call create something or build something. And we have a vision of how it's supposed to work out, right? Yeah. You know, but you ever find out that it doesn't always work out that way? It just doesn't always work out that way. But God was able to see and to know, and with perfect knowledge, see all that was going to unfold. You think this surprises God, what's going on in the Middle East? Do you think it surprises him that they're making it about land? And by the way, it's not just about land, so you know. Do you know what lies under, what they estimate lies under Palestine? 83 billion barrels of oil. Israel doesn't really have, where Israel is now, Israel doesn't really have any oil. Most of theirs is imported. Yeah. Now, Palestine was part of, when you go back, Canaan, and the promise was they were supposed to go in and conquer the people of where? Canaan, right? So we know who the land belongs to in the courts of God. And in history, around about 1917, my wife's going to be really impressed that I know some history and that I read. In World War I, Britain was looking for a partnership, an ally in Israel. And the agreement was, we will be an ally, and so Britain, who had Palestine, what we know as Palestine at the time, they gave it to Israel. Okay? So once again, the land keeps coming back because God's keeping his promise and it keeps being tested and his people keep being disciplined and this battle goes on that goes all the way back to Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, the descendants of, and it's just being played out again and again. But God is able to see through time. He's also able to see what lies under the surface that in time we discovered. You think fossil fuels is a new term to God? I don't know when that term became popular. I'm looking at some of you who, you don't know Joshua? Huh. Ah. Well, of course, it's not a scripture verse. So, anyhow. What I want you to see is that we discover things. God has already seen it and known it. Before creation, don't you think he would know that there's oil where there's oil? He created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it and how it perpetuates and how things are there and how things develop, how things were made that they would develop and alter and change, all because of his plan. He didn't change his mind, but he made it so that it would do this. So here we are battling, okay, over land that God saw through time and battling at what's under the surface. Battling what we didn't see, but we are on this journey of gaining knowledge. So in your own life, do you sometimes discover things that you didn't know were lying beneath the surface of your life? Hopefully some good things, and the reality is probably some things you didn't know were there, right? Jealousy, envy, hatred, arrogance, pride, etc., etc., etc. And God begins to show us, okay? And now the battle is between your flesh and his spirit. Fighting over what? The promise. You see, what's going on over there that we see being played out has everything to be an example of what is going on inside of you and me. God has made you a promise. And he's made you a child of promise. And the enemy is out to destroy it and take it from you. And if he can't have it, he wants to ruin it for you. Right? You ever been to one of those middle school, high school parties? Yeah. Was at somebody's house who was popular, and you didn't like them, but you got to go. Was somebody else's glorious moment of achievement or birthday or whatever it is. And you know what? You kind of tried to send a ripple effect to kind of ruin it. If I can't have it, I'm going to try to ruin it. I'm going to try to belittle it. I'm going to try to make it look small. I'm going to try to make me look better. It's not your moment. And it wasn't your party. It wasn't your promise. You see, that's what the enemy does. We see it played out here on earth because of promises. But I want you to know, it's that very same battle. There is nothing new under the sun. Okay? You look back earlier than Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. The serpent shows up. Adam and Eve have a special relationship with God. He just wanted to ruin it because he disobeyed God and he could never have it. And now the plan of salvation is put into action by his blood. Right? by the blood of animals. No forgiveness without blood. And now you fast forward and you go through all this battle that's played out between God's promise and those who can't have it, all the way up to the time of Christ, and it's still going on. But you are a child of the promise. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't you let any battle, anything, take it from you or ruin it for you. That's what I want to tell you. Battles will come and go. But don't let it rob the hope that you have been given within you. No circumstance, no situation, no financial stress, no conflict, nobody mistreating you, whatever your history says, don't let anything rob you from the fulfillment of God's promise. Don't let the enemy or your own flesh ruin it. You are a child of promise. And with it, there comes a battle, and it comes a test, and there comes some suffering. In the simplest forms, we see it. We see our bodies change and get older and not as fast and not as strong and all of those things. But we're going to shed this. We're going to shed this. This looks like Randy, but I'm shedding this. The real Randy is who's inside here. The real Jeffrey is who's inside. It's not just that beautiful flowery shirt. Like I told somebody else this morning, if I was a smaller man, I might take that from you. But then I'd have to face Chris, so forget it. Keep the shirt. Listen, in Obadiah chapter 1, he talks about this Jacob and Esau thing. And there's an end time prophecy that he begins to prophesy about. In the Old Testament, he begins to prophesy about the dividing of land. You read it in chapter 1 of Obadiah. The dividing of land. And those who have rejected God, defied God, it says that there is a day of reckoning and how pride is a destruction to you. You remember that? How pride is a destruction to your soul. That's one of the things that, you know, it's one of the things that is the enemy that works within us to the out. You know, a lot of things are circumstantial. They're the outward things trying to wreck it for us. But then there are the things inside here that can ruin it. And it's not about the outward circumstance. It's about the inner battle and the inner workings and where sin comes from within us, like Jesus talked about. You see, that's the battle. That's where we can lose the promise. Don't let anything take your hope. Don't let circumstance, don't let anything that's living in here that shouldn't be, that keeps getting exposed in you and I, as we are being transformed and perfected and being sanctified in Christ as we follow Him and obey Him and honor Him, don't let anything in here ruin the promise. I want you to hear it this morning that God is for you. He's not against you. He sees your future. He already knows your past, but He saw your past when your past was your future. Follow that? He sees your future. He knows. And He still loves you. Listen, He kept His promise to Jacob even when Jacob faltered. Don't think your promise is ruined because you faltered. He will keep His promise. Now, faltering, if it leads to a life of disobedience, then we forfeit our promise. Right? Just like Esau did. Over a moment of convenience, he forfeited his birthright. See, God hated Esau because He could see the choice Esau was going to make. He was going to marry foreign women, not women of faith. He saw that he was going to forfeit his birthright. He disrespected his birthright. You and I, don't disrespect your birthright in Christ. It is your birthright. And the enemy cannot take it from you, no matter what his threat is. You hang on to that birthright in Christ. You listen to this, and I'm not swearing, but come hell or high water, you hang on to that birthright. When hell rises up, the waters get high, and the fire gets hot, and you don't know what to do, you hang on to that birthright. Don't you forfeit it out of convenience or being deceived into something else as the answer other than his word and his promise. Hamas wants nothing more than the land of Palestine and for it to be an Islamic nation. And I want you to know that God has made some promises and they can't have it. I didn't make it up. It's not a political statement. It's his word. Listen, you can trust God, you can trust his word, and you can trust it into all his promises for today and all your tomorrows, because he has made the promise, and he sees your future, and he knows the decisions you've made and the decisions you're going to make, because he knows. And he'll deal with you in perfect wisdom and always give you opportunity to preserve the promise and hang on to it. You and I have a will and a choice. And I'm telling you, in our will and in our choosing, don't let go of the birthright. I don't care what strikes you in this life or what strikes me in this life, what comes upon us. Don't let go of that birthright. Don't let go of that promise. He is a keeper of promises. And when you look at the circumstances and things around you, your life, or like he's not hearing my prayers and all those things, and you're just ready to throw in the birthright, you hang on to that birthright. You hang on to his promise. Don't throw it in. This life, it's going to have suffering, and it's going to have difficulty. But our faith, it overcomes. Our faith overcomes. And he has made you more than a conqueror. You are not a conqueror unless you have fought battles. Our armor should look a little worn, a little dented, scarred, right? It should look a little antiquated. Why? Because you've been in some battles. But you are still here to talk about it. Don't let go of your birthright, because you will speak it as a word of testimony in the end. For they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their life so much that they would shrink back from suffering even unto death. That's the end. Right? That's it. Don't you let go. You honor God. You honor his word. You're a child of promise. I don't care what this life throws at you or what you're facing today. Don't you let go over some trial, some test. I don't care how difficult, oh, Pastor, it's so difficult. Yes, I'm sure it is. As if this was easy. As if what Christ did was easy. He purchased you. Why don't you stand to your feet, please?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.